I made my first couple of wads in high school, as probably most people do, if not younger. But high school was the earliest I could have done it because that was when the very first editors were coming out. So this was 94, 95. And so I worked on end one and end two, got those out, and then did a couple other small projects before shipping off to college. And shipped off to college essentially without a computer, was your standard poor college student, so couldn't afford to get one. And that was the reason for my sudden departure.
Was it all Doom all the time, or did you get caught up in the Quake craze for a bit? There's something I didn't know about there.
You know, there's a massive hole in my gaming career to a certain extent for those college years. And then once I left college, I worked in the timber industry, and I was camping out a lot and living out in the woods with limited technology. So couldn't do anything computer gamey at the time. I'm a keyboard user, so Quake seemed kind of it. As soon as the mouse keyboard combination really started being favored, I basically just stopped being able to play.
Oh wow! Do you still play like that as well?
I'm still a keyboard user.
Wow, I mean, I guess it isn't. I shouldn't consider it that unusual.
There's a few of us out there.
You're not a big demo recorder, though, are you? Sorry.
I've started doing a few demos for No End in Sight, just on my own, and posting them on the demos. There's a couple of them up there. Just because one of the main draws of doing a vanilla or Boom compatible Megawad was watching people play demos, and as soon as I got it out there, I was like, where are all the demos? Why aren't they rushing in? So I just started making some of my own instead. I'm certainly not a speedrunner by any means.
And did you how did you reintegrate yourself? You're out camping, the timber, as you say, probably as far removed as you could possibly be from computers, and probably even thinking about Doom. But so what happened?
I did get a hand-me-down laptop at some point, and I don't know what it was. I had not thought about Doom for that entire decade. It was a distant memory, if that. It was probably just wiped from my brain completely. I feel like life had changed so much since going off to college and then living your life as an adult. But I got this, I got that hand-me-down laptop, and I just started poking around Doom World, I guess. I can't remember what inspired me to go back there, but one thing led to another, and I played a couple WoDs I really liked. I played Z-Pack, which, looking at it now, I'm like, oh, that's okay, but back when I'd been gone for 10 years and custom monsters that were, would have been, I would say, they fit well within the original game and seemed professional. For me, it was just this amazing. I would have figured that Doom had died and that nothing had happened in the community because things had moved on. But instead, I come back and there's still all of this activity going on and all of these new developments. So that kind of ropes me in, and I go to town working on Awakening, which is a single level WoD I think I released in 2008. And
2008? Oh, okay. I thought it was 2010, or maybe you put out an early iteration.
Could be. Who knows? You know better than I do.
I'm a little bit creepy, but yeah.
So I put that out, and that was that. So for that one, there's a combo to it where I'm still in Boom mode and I'm still using Death in DOSBox. I had not yet discovered Doom Builder. So I'm using all these same old ancient technologies that I had used when I was, you know, in high school. But then I also pulled in the Zedum monsters from Realm 667 and incorporated those into it. So
I wouldn't have guessed, honestly, that playing Z-Packing and getting inspired by that to some degree would have... I mean, looking at the sort of things you've made since then, they're all... I don't know, I don't want to use the term avant-garde or something like that, but, you know, the sort of design decisions that you make strike me more as coming from the sort of angle of not a purist, but someone who is more in love with the base game, sort of unmodified, and then and taking interesting angles from that. So interested how you went from like seeing something like Z-Pack and being wow to let's jump on the Doom the way it did bus, because that was 2010 as well.
I would say that I'm an amalgamation in that I feel that there's a purity to the original games, a purity to how they design their maps, the open-endedness, non-linearity, abstract design, right? And you compare it to something like Z-Pack that is more detailed, something along those lines. So my level design, I would say I'm still old school in the abstract sense, but I also feel like I was just watching a couple YouTube videos of Z-Pack online, in fact, on YouTube. And it was just basically corridors and doors with new monsters. And I remember being totally enthralled with it when I was playing it previously. So I feel as though new monsters and new weapons breathe new life into the game, but also that the game is kind of designed around that abstract level design as well. So I like bringing both into it.
Mm. Do you play a lot of the new content that gets put out these days, or are you sort of burnt out after making the Odin Sight, which we'll get around to shortly, I'm sure, to talk about the design?
I will still download anything that's getting... I will download everything from newbie wads to the newest big projects and play into them a little bit. Certainly, I find inspiration in everything that I play. And I oftentimes find that kind of the most newbie-ish, abstract, what would not, unpolished wads sometimes have really interesting things going on in them every once in a while, and you have to dig through a lot of just garbage, but every once in a while you'll stumble upon something and say, wow, that was interesting, I bet I could do that 10 times better. And then where the inspiration comes from, where I can do that but make it look good, sort of thing. So
that's interesting. So I mean, have you played any of Yak Fak's levels, for example? Because
what has he made?
Oh, there's something he put out 2 years ago called Sheer Poison, which was this really, it's almost like an existential art one piece, but it doubled up as a playable sort of puzzle map as well. He likes creating that sort of material, and I get the impression, haven't spoken to him at length about it, but he strikes me as a sort of guy who likes to read into newbie material and stuff like that, because they're not... I guess burdened by the sort of tropes that Doomworld has and that sort of thing. So he's always looking at the ground floor of that sort of thing.
We're in the same boat there then.
Yeah, exactly. That's the impression I got. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I've played so much that I probably have played some of this stuff at some point, but it's lost in time.
So you've been preoccupied, obviously, with No One's In Sight for the longest time, which was a spin-off of, obviously, it's its own thing, but it did have its roots in Doom the way it did. So you've been preoccupied with that for the best part of 6 years or something. I mean, there was a lot of downtime.
Well, I was occupied with it for about 3 years, and then the latter 3 years were me waiting for other teammates to... produce their final work.
Well, we know who those people were. Yeah. I'm struggling with one of them right now, trying to put out Ultimate. Whoops, I shouldn't have out that. I might actually have to edit that out and probably chop my head off. But it's interesting hearing you talk about sort of love for sort of new monsters and that sort of thing being put into the game, because knowing how long you've spent with something like No One's In Sight, it's did you get sick and tired of it after a while? You think, okay, this is great. I taking leaf from the original game, but I do want to expand out and do more, like maybe ZDoom based stuff. I don't know.
Well, now I'm back to the ZDoom based stuff. I'm once again creating a map in Boom format with ZDoom monsters and some new weapons. So I'm back to my old. When I was making Awakening, I pictured it as being a full episode, not just one map. So I have all of these resources that have been hanging out for years on my hard drives, all new monsters that I've tweaked to my liking, and same with weapons and some power-ups. So I'm finally able to play with those again. And it's a Doom 2 map, so breaking new grounds. And I released a really quick map one a year ago, maybe.
You did. Yeah, I've just remembered that. I've had all this time to to hunt down all your material, but it's only now that you mentioned the sort of ZDoom stuff that I remember. You did actually put out a test map, and I played it. And yeah. It was for ZDoom, so I don't remember making a demo for it. But I don't even remember providing feedback. That's how exceptional I am.
No, it kind of flew under the radar. So it was, it's nothing extravagant or mind-blowing. So it was just kind of a basic map one without too much excitement going on. But I think that one was some ZDoom format, but I'm going to steer away from that because I have no idea how to make my doors time properly in ZDoom and make the lifts feel right. The lifts always come down to like eight above the floor, and it just bugs me to no end. So I'm just avoiding any of those ZDoom formats.
You got to be careful of the lifts, and it's like if you change the timing on a lift, it'll alienate half your audience. I know that from personal experience.
Well, it pulls me out of it, definitely. So there's a ingrained way things are supposed to work in my mind in Doom, and when you start messing with that and making doors go half the speed or somewhere in between, and make them only last a second before they close again, it just totally pulls me out of the game. So I'm steering away from all of that.
You don't think the same about other elements of the game that people think are untouchable, like inescapable pits, I don't know, or damaging floors being always, if it looks like they can be crossed, then you should be allowed to cross them without, dying to 20% damage or something like that. And I don't know, you were asking me before the interview, like, you're going to have to convince me that there's a public perception about the way I do stuff. And to me, it seems a lot of people think, when they think natural 20, they think somebody who's prepared to shirk sort of taboos around certain things, just because that's what he wants to do, and he doesn't care if no one else likes it, because he does, and that's what's important.
So I'm not buying into the idea that I have a public persona. And second of all, I'm not buying into the fact that I am any more rigid in my design and inflexibility than any other established
member. Look, well, there's your opportunity to set the record straight. I mean, because I'm telling you, it's there. I've spoken to people who agreed before I've even pointed out what it is. So you should be painting yourself as a more conventional level designer, I imagine.
I'm sure that there are instances there where I like my 20% damaging floor. I feel like that was kind of a mainstay in episode 3 of Doom, if I remember correctly. Maybe I'm...
Well, I'm thinking specifically of... I think in No One's Insight it's E3M6. It's the one... you made an episode 3 map for Doom the way I did it. It was the Lost Soul pictorial. I think it's Forgotten Caverns, isn't it? Yeah. And the number E3M5, of people I saw...
Right. I guess that one mad dash across the lava there.
That's the one that everyone thinks of.
Is that really worth just constructing an entire
I don't think so, but that's what's happened.
Well, I guess when you make an impression with that, then that's what's gonna stick. I certainly don't shy away from my negative 20 floors, and for you want the sacrifice. If you have to make a certain amount of sacrifice in your secret, you want to design something like that and then have it create a big reward. So
right.
if the player wants to run across 20% damaging floors and lose 120% health and make it to the other side, then they're they've got a quick jolt to the exit right there. So it's just kind of one of those open-ended philosophies, and then the player can decide, do I want to go back and explore this map more or whatnot. So it's just a way to offer choice, I guess. But I don't, beyond that one instant, I think maybe that one instant just made my name, and I'm stuck with it for life.
Do you think that that Doom has, the first Doom, the ultimate Doom, has something that Doom 2 doesn't have? Because Doom 2 has all the same tools, but it has additional stuff that people feel obliged to use or whatever. And if you don't use them, then you may as well just be dead. Well, that's true. Skin tech. Skin tech all the way, baby. And skull wall and shit. But yeah, no, because...
Well, obviously there's nothing in... And nothing significant in the original Doom that is not in Doom 2. I mean, it's got the episode format, which is very nice. The 30 level straight can be a bit exhausting. Yeah.
Although you can just hack that into Doom 2 anyway, like Scythe did.
That's true, with the teleporting death. I don't know, I've never played through Scythe, so I'm only remembering from demos I've watched online. But even still, you can't just select, you know,
right, yeah,
your episode. But I generally do like Doom over Doom 2 for a variety of reasons. Let's see. I feel like Doom 2 is a bit excessive in... Well, okay, we're going to start at the beginning here. When Doom 2 came out, I did feel a bit disappointed in it. I was a massive Doom fan, and I was disappointed in the single new weapon that the game provided. And not only did you just get one single new weapon, but it was another shotgun, which felt a little uninspired. And it seemed like not the best shotgun as well, because when you pick it up, it's revealed to you lying on the ground in map 2, and then it's really ineffective against all the smaller troopers at a distance, so it just feels awkward. And compared to the normal shotgun, which has a bit more accuracy at range, and it's faster and more satisfying. So super shotgun, I've never been a fan of. I hate how slow it is. I feel like Doom 2 is like the very first cover shooter everywhere, because half the time you're using your super shotgun and you're fighting monsters like Revenants or Pain Elementals that you don't want to have trigger their attack animation, or you want to be hiding while you are reloading. So half my time I'm playing Doom, I'm taking pop shots with my super shotgun and hiding behind some door frame while I reload. Rinse, repeat.
This is probably only going to support the idea of the avant-garde that I was talking about earlier. Because that's a really, really unconventional opinion. I don't know. I always feel like the super shotgun was something that was included, you know, to force you to get up close and personal with monsters in such a way that you'd have to, you know, you'd be engaged with projectile dodging and stuff like that a lot more. It's a lot more visceral, in your face experience.
Yeah, perhaps. I just don't find, I don't find the super shotgun satisfying, because you know, because it's slower, as I said, and you know you're going to trigger the pain state. So you know you have...
It's quite metronome-like, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know that it's going to be the same action. Shoot, dodge, shoot, dodge, as opposed to the shotgun, which, depending on what you're shooting, you're either going to kill it in one shot in Doom, or you may not trigger the pain state if you're up against a Baron. So there's a lot more, it's a little more random in Doom. You either take the monster out with one shot with that shotgun, you take out a sergeant, and then whenever the next monster pops up or wherever the next one is, you have to make a choice. In Doom 2, the monsters are Meteor. You've got your, your Hell Knights. and your man cubi, and it's just a bit more grindy.
That's a really, really interesting stance to take. I'm wondering if it sort of ties, because I get the impression from that you feel like there's more a sort of a free-flowing opportunity in something like Doom 1 and sort of a better immediacy, I don't know, to the action.
Yeah.
And that, right. There's a lot of lower tier that you can sync with a shotgun or whatever.
Yeah, your weapons are faster. Monsters are... It's more of a... more of the handling the group dynamic. And there are other reasons why I prefer Doom over Doom 2. Another one would be that infighting is much more of a occurrence in Doom 2. And I feel like that detracts from the gameplay a little bit, actually, because in Doom 1, if monsters start infighting, it's kind of a happy accident. And they fight for about 12 seconds, or not even that long, 3 seconds. And one of them, you know, if it's a imp and a sergeant, then it's going to be over quick. And you compare that to, say, a mancubi and an arachnotron, and they're both beefy monsters. So if you try to take them down yourself, you're expending all of this ammunition on them. So it's much better to try to get them to infight. And that's fun, you know, the once or twice, but eventually it just makes the monsters seem unintelligent and unthreatening because you can just run around them until they all start fighting each other. And I find that to just, I want my monsters to be menacing and threatening. And I feel as though in Doom 1, because they don't just, you can't get them to just murder each other so easily. It's much more to your advantage to take the battle to them and to actually engage the monsters in Doom 1, as opposed to just being this circling bystander and watching it all happen. So that's sort of the meatiness of the monsters and their increase in their attack damage kind of makes it so, oh, it's better to just have them kill each other as opposed to me doing it. And I don't want that. I want to just take it to them. So,
are you a fan of knee-deep in Z-Doom for this reason? Completely removing it?
I played, this was still in my awe of Z-Doom phase, so I definitely remember being incredibly lost and stuck in knee-deep in Z-Doom, but I hadn't been in the scene long enough to really harbor any disdain for it or have anything to compare it to. So I definitely, there were some of the monsters in that didn't do it for me, and I guess they were in Z-Pack too. So knee-deep in Z-Doom I was just kind of lukewarm on. Certainly the architecture is beyond compare. I feel like it's just a amazing spectacle to behold, and you can't help but give it props for that. It's just an amazing thing to wander through, but getting lost and not knowing what to do was certainly an issue, without a doubt.
I think one of the reasons I want to sort of pinpoint your opinions on the differences and why you prefer Doom 1 over Doom 2 is that I'm trying to see a distinction between what people feel should be made for Doom 1 because of what the original was. It's a much more sort of dungeon crawler-esque type thing where exploration and getting lost in corridors is part of the experience. Whereas a lot of the modern works for Doom 2, for example, perhaps in this evolved the way only because of the potential, since no one actually models their work off the original Doom 2 that much these days, for all the talk we did about Sandy. But so with something like No End in Sight, again, it felt like Doom 1 taken to the nth degree, and I know that it was a spin-off of Doom the way it did, but do you feel that when you're mapping for Doom 1, you need to really to take that angle of being more explorative-like in that?
I would say that you cannot make a slaughter map in Doom 1. It's
right.
There's no way you could pull anything of interest. If you create a large room, the monsters are just completely impotent against you. So you need to have certainly a certain claustrophobic feel. And unless you're doing nothing but Caco demons and Barons and Cyber demons, you're not going to have anything that plays at all remotely interestingly as a slaughter map. And even if you do use those three monsters, it's going to become very repetitive very quickly. So as far as, do you absolutely need to map in the original game's style? It's my favorite kind of style, so it's what I always gravitate to. I feel as though Doom was meant to be this, your levels are supposed to be open-ended and exploratory and somewhat dark and claustrophobic. So
have you played anything? I mean, there's so much more content for Doom 2. Have you played anything that comes close to capturing the sort of thing that you were trying to emulate with No End in Sight, you and Sahiza? Does Doom just do it that little bit better because of those gameplay differences that you talked about?
Well, I do prefer the Doom 2 IWOD to Ultimate Doom. That was a certain amount of a departure, perhaps. You know, since then, what really gets me going in Doom 2 is the custom content, and you can throw in two new monsters into a map, and I'll be excited to play it. So, as far as more vanilla-compatible stuff, yeah, there's probably been some things out there that I've played that have impressed me for Doom 2, but I like Zazer's work all the time whenever I see everything that he makes. He touches gold in my book. So, but he incorporates a lot of those elements of open-endedness, exploration, and just kind of abstractness. So,
in all of his works, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that's probably why we enjoy each other's work so much, is we both appreciate that style. But he can take things to a fairly grand level, and I'll come along for the ride. So,
yeah, I honestly, I'm having a bit of a crisis here, because if I ask myself what my favorite works are at the moment, like, No End in Sight is right up there, but I'm not sure if that's because it was the first time I played something without music for a while, because I didn't want to listen to the stock material.
You're saying I should have put some new music in there? Well, I never listen to music, which is why there's no new music in there.
That's really interesting, because I actually, for once, I feel like the better option would simply be for the sort of play experience that is, and No One Does Like is. It's just better with no music than it is even with just new stuff.
That's true for all of Doom. So
wow,
you've opened up to a brand new world.
Yeah, well, it was the first time I'd done that in a long time, and I wasn't sure whether the game was so good, or whether it was because I switched everything off. So that's why I'm kind of in flux.
That was one thing that Zazer always constructed his map around, whatever the track was, and I shifted my maps around without any hesitation, because I do not try to create a mood that matches the stock music. So he was always very rigid about where his maps needed to be, and I was much more flexible. So
you play with no music ever. In Doom.
No, never. I got a podcast going or some other video.
Listening to BBC Radio 4 or something. The afternoon play as you're killing demons. Yeah. Should try that again sometime. Yeah, interesting.
Different parts of the brain active.
Yeah. No, it suggests to me that you place more value in getting pulled into the atmosphere of a level or something like that, or is it just a gameplay thing? You want to be able to hear what's going on around you, or you're just used to that?
No, it's not that. I'm pretty sick and tired of the original music as well, but I don't feel as though I've never explored creating a new, wad full of music I like of me format, and most MIDIs I hear annoy me, so I just turn it off. And it's always been the way that's been for years now. So
you wouldn't make a return to music if the community was focused more on making more ambient stuff? Because I know there's a lot of, it's all very melody driven and quite
well. Clear. Well. If we're going to be technical about this, I could, if I had my way, I would just be throwing more Metallica MIDIs into every.
Oh wow! Okay.
every project that
that's killed that conversation dead. Yeah.
It would remain nothing but Metallica, but apparently those are looked down upon, snubbed by the community. So I refrained from doing so for No End in Sight.
Well, we're having this conversation about 2 hours after I watched Dime play through Hell Reveal 2 for about half an hour, so and that's just chock-a-block with all the sorts of farts falling down staircases that you can think of.
Nice.
Guitar grunge, yeah, it's awful. Anyway, what was it like working with Sazer? Because he's we've worked on a lot of, we've collaborated on a lot of projects all over the shop, really, because he likes to put his fingers in all sorts of different pies, and
yeah, he's just he's not a human being, because he's just in every, he creates quality in every single Doom project that is happening, and he takes it over and he leads it and he puts it out. Working with him, I feel like the No End in Sight team, we were all essentially, we didn't really work together. We would build our maps on our own, and whenever one of us was done, we would dump it on the team and maybe exchange a couple emails, and that was the extent of it. We were not, there was not great depth of discussion for the most part as to what was going on and what direction we were heading in. We all just kind of built off each other and felt each other out and proceeded that way. And we mostly spoke through our levels, I would say. So it wasn't like we were hanging out in chat every other weekend and discussing the next steps or anything like that. It was just, we were all independent and then only talked to each other when we had something new to release.
Actually, I imagine that was probably a welcome change for Sazer, because I've been pestering about certain things that he needs to be getting on with, and he hates it when I do that, but it's unusual that that people would corroborate over email these days, and they have, you know, things like what we're using now, Discord or IRC or whatever, even though that's ancient. Even just the forums, you know, especially with the update and stuff like that. Not that that was around then, but it probably let you feel comfortable with taking 3 years to make it, I guess, even longer.
I guess so. I mean, it was 90% done 3 years ago, and then
ouch,
things kind of, I think I posted about this in the Doom World Megawatt Club, but we reached a point where Sazer needed to contribute one more map for episode 7, and so did Chris. And it was just, it went from this fervor of excitement and just all of us producing new maps, you know, once every 2 weeks or once a month, and just kind of this competition between each other to make quality maps and one up each other. And then suddenly I feel like that just came crashing down. And I don't know if it was fatigued or if Sazer just got distracted. And Chris was always, he was more non-communicative than Sazer even. And he would just say, okay, here's my map. And then that would be, you know, there was very little discussion after that, if any. So, so we reached this point, I think, where maybe we just got exhausted and couldn't muster up the creativity needed for that one final map. And so we hung out with that for quite a while until what felt like an eternity, and Chris suddenly popped up and provided his EVE 4 map. And as I talked about in the Doom World Megawatt Club, it was a bit of a shock to me because No End in Sight was still vanilla. And he sends me an email saying, here's my next map after years of non-communication, and I am just, you know, jumping up and down for joy that No End in Sight has risen from the grave and I load it up.
And by the way, it doesn't work in vanilla.
Start playing Doom, and there's about 500 line deaths in front of me. And,
excellent. Fortunately, yeah. Caesar is well skilled. He spent that long in Baxter, and actually knows how to. I think he actually stepped in to rescue E4M6, the one that Mar and I were working on, and that was Overflow City, and he managed to fix that up. So he's a genius like that.
Well, that's good. My solution was to just make episode 4, limit removing and not work. Stripping down his map and trying to cram it into vanilla. And that opened up my mapping creativity, because I was exhausted doing vanilla mapping and making sure everything functioned properly and experiencing strange bugs and visplane overflows. And that was, I was about through with that. So then as soon as I make that decision that, okay, forget this vanilla stuff for episode 4, we're going with limit removing, then I get to work on what would eventually become E4M6.
That's actually my favorite map in
E4. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah.
I have reservations about my large maps, because they seem to be the most polarizing. People can play through episode 1 and everyone enjoys episode 1, but then you get something like E3M7 or E4M6, and they are these expansive, twisting, confusing layouts that stretch on for who knows how long with all sorts of nooks and crannies. And those are the ones that people love or hate. And I've heard people say that E4M6 is their favorite, and others just absolutely tear it down and despise it. And it's always the sort of thing where I don't try to make large maps, but I have this theme going, and I want to milk it for all it's worth, and the levels just get out of hand and get a little crazy.
This is why I find it so difficult to review, honestly, because first of all, my unique circumstances of playing with the music, I got drawn into the game that much more, and I'm not sure if that was the music or the game, but it did mean that I was quite happy to take my time with it, as drawn in as I was, and so those large maps became really quite palatable. I actually disliked E1 the most, and I preferred E2, and then even more so E3. It just got better as far as I'm concerned. The Megawatt Club, they have to write something every day, and so they have to keep chugging along, and they feel as though, you know, they have to write out paragraphs and paragraphs, and so maybe when they're confronted with those large maps, it seems like more of a chore than something that they can just take their time with and enjoy, and, you know, not have to cram everything. I don't know, that's just a guess, but I find it that those are the maps I enjoyed the most easily.
Yeah, I found that, you know, when I released the various betas, and especially the last one before release that had all 4 episodes, there were a few people who would stream playing it on Twitch, and I was able to watch those streams. And you say that I'm rigid in my lack of accepting feedback, but what I found that was watching the streams of people playing it and seeing things that I didn't realize might be issues was the most informative thing for me for updating the work and making changes. But I also found that watching them, the Twitch streams that I did watch, they enjoyed the more tight, condensed levels. And I feel like you're the first person I've heard say that you found E1 least enjoyable, because it seems to me like E1 is kind of the bread and butter that everyone can enjoy. So that's interesting.
Right. Well, I mean, especially on streams, because I sometimes form an opinion just from something, just from watching Tarnsman play through it, because we do a lot of streams together, and he'll be playing through it, and I often joke about how he And he's accepted this joke, this analogy that he likes to shovel through map sets. It's like there's walls of dirt and he just gets it and goes, right? But I mean, when you're streaming, you always have an audience and they want to see things chug along. And so it's just this big straight line to me, to the whole experience. And so, I don't know, how effective a big map is by itself as a journey just sort of gets lost in the shuffle, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So so they're seen more as slogs, and so that's perhaps why something like E1 gives them the immediacy and, you know, the satisfaction that they're after. I think that's just my suspicion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, let's see here. You were speaking about feedback. So you didn't get much feedback during the process, I imagine, until you put up those first betas when I think the first three episodes was done.
Well, we did have Do as our playtester.
Oh, poor Do. He's everywhere.
He seemed to enjoy himself. So he would provide feedback. And I will, I in those sorts of situations, I can be a bit rigid and feel as though I would say that I probably listened to Do maybe, 10% of his suggestions got
actually. Wow. Well. See, just confirming expectations here.
This is true. You should have streamed it on Twitch, and then I would. So yeah, gave feedback, and obviously there was a beta release with three episodes like 4 years ago, so there was a certain amount of feedback there.
Was the fourth episode always planned, by the way?
So it started out as just an episode one replacement because I had a couple episode one maps from Doom the way it did. And then, of course, there's no stopping there. So I also had an episode two and an episode three map. But I would have been happy to stop with just an episode one and maybe release those other two as single compilations. But then Zazer got on board, and then Chris got on board, and it became pretty clear that we needed to create a full three-episode megawad. And from there, we started getting excess maps, so it became four episodes. Then it became four episodes plus extra maps in the EXM0 slots. So it's just kind of one of those things that expands beyond belief.
Right. No, the reason I asked that is because it ties in with the sort of feedback. Was there a chance that the thing just got too large that, you weren't as willing to go back and revise stuff because it had been going on long enough and you just wanted it to get over with, something like that?
No, I was still revising certain episode one maps that just didn't sit right with me up until the very end. Probably like E1M3 has always, it just doesn't quite feel right to me. So I've been tweaking that thing. There's going to be one more release of No End in Sight because certain bugs were found during the Doom World Megawad Club.
Of course.
That we're going to fix. And that means that some of the E1 maps are going to look a little different because I'm still tweaking those. So
sometimes I feel like it's best these days just to announce a release as a release when internally you know it's a beta because people never play the betas testing for bugs.
I feel bad. I feel like that once it's up onto the archive, that should be it.
Yeah.
That should be the release because then people are going to start making demos for it or whatever. But there's going to be one more. And it does seem like a lot of the feedback came after release. So there was a lot of initial feedback years ago when we released that first beta with three episodes and a lot of bug fix came in, but I think people got a bit exhausted on No End in Sight. And the actual release I felt like was a bit quiet, probably because people had played it plenty by then and had no need to go back and play it again just because it was an official release. So, yeah.
Do you feel as though your style changed over the course of those 3 years? I mean, understanding that it's the whole project is sort of governed by this attempting to be sort of in lockstep with the original game and copy some of its qualities, but
right.
did like what was well, like was the source of your change?
It was Zazer, most certainly. Started out just being a completely... So in the Doom the Way It Did thread, actually John Romero had made a few posts in there. He's kind of stopped by and kind of just dropped some random...
Hey guys, biosphere, biosphere. Exactly. Everyone's going to make a biosphere map. I think we've got like 7 biosphere maps.
So one of the things that he posted in one of maybe his 3 posts was that he was talking something about just level design and editing, and he kept using the word room. And then at the end he said, and by room I mean sector. So that was kind of the vibe I was going for, that keep things as minimalistic as possible, and a room, if you can make a room that's just one sector, you have achieved greatness, and it still looks good. that was the epitome of being a Doom level design god. So that was what I was, that was my design philosophy.
It's a shame you didn't impart that wisdom onto the 5 Rooms of Doom project that was going on a couple of years ago. They had a slightly different definition.
Yeah, that's one I have not played, in fact.
Yeah.
But Zazer had a different philosophy, and he would be creating maps like, I remember E2M9 was fairly, had a more complexity. There were a couple maps that Zazer made that I just felt like my simplistic, minimalistic style was just being put to shame by.
Oh, so you felt like the foil in a sort of comedy duo?
Yes. I felt there's a big transition between, say, E1M6 and E1M7, where you jump from my map to Zazer's map, and you have much more sweeping vistas and these complex large rooms. And
I won't tell you which one was my favorite then, anyone.
Which one?
You're gonna do it, aren't you? No, it was only 1M7. But yeah, that's what I did much prefer some of your maps in the later episodes to even some of Caesar's. So and they merged quite seamlessly. Yeah, that's part of the reason I enjoyed it much more. The whole experience.
Yes, because I started pushing myself to map more like Caesar.
Oh no.
So
well, I got the answer I wanted, I guess.
I remember you guys were, I think it was maybe your Sandy Peterson Evolution of the WAD YouTube video, and you were looking at E3M1, and you were like laughing about it, saying, look at this, you know, my first WAD, not WAD, just because it is so basic. And so, you know, you got one sector rooms, like I'm saying. And to me, that I look at that and I think that is art. That is Doom mapping at its purest, at its best. So
stick it up them. There you go. Say conform me to expectation.
It might be nostalgia, and maybe if I saw those levels today without ever playing them as a kid, I would think they were garbage. But there is a certain immersion factor to the original IWADs that I just never feel has been replicated from custom maps. So anyways, Zazer kept creating these magnificent levels that blew me away, and there's no way Zazer is going to stick to my one sector room philosophy. There's certainly still an old school vibe to his work, and he's not a guy who will spam sector detail at all. He's just really good with lighting and with architecture, and he still uses fairly minimal sector use, but he just has a way of doing it. Well, he likes to use a lot of symmetry. He likes to use a lot of common shapes, and he just
sharp triangles, pointy things.
Sharp triangles.
Have you played his Sharp Things map? By the way, which I think is also
That map is phenomenal. I've been begging for him to stick it into No End in Sight for the final release, but he's not having any of it. It won't be in there, but yeah, that really shows his ability to use. He's great with angles. He's great with lighting. He has that immersion factor that I feel is present in very few mappers. So,
but for all this praise, he's probably your biggest fan. number of times he lists N1.1, and I'm wondering now, as a sort of natural lead-in, what you think of your really old work from back then. And if you could also just remind me what work you did on Caverns of Darkness as well, because I've played that twice and I had no idea you had any involvement in it, which is very bad of me. so perhaps talk about how you view some of your old work and is there anything you would change if you did it again now?
I see my old work just through the eyes of the passion that I had as a kid. And I remember just how obsessed I was with Doom mapping. It was, you know, I spent my days dreaming up of what the next map was going to be and what tricks I was going to employ and how I was going to take this lowering floor and make something interesting out of it. So to me, it will always be a labor of love, and I will look back upon it quite affectionately, and I'll always be proud of that work. I can't help but see it any other way.
Do you see this the style as you were then being like really divorced from what you do now? Because I actually find it quite remarkable how there are obvious differences. With a 10-year gap, there would have to be. But we were doing a retrospective with Matt's work, for example, of the most recent Evolution of the Wad video, and you could see the drastic changes that went through his style. And he did have a sort of departure from the community, but it wasn't nearly as large. But even then, there were huge, just sweeping changes in the way that he made his designed his levels. It doesn't seem to be quite as big a jump for your stuff. So, especially for someone who just forgot about the game, essentially.
Certainly there are, you know, obviously there are differences with how I mapped then and how I map now. My texture use, I think, has improved dramatically, but I'm sure we can all claim that if we look back upon our older work. I still think there were times when I used some interesting tricks in End One, like when the Grave Danger map. I still, it's kind of the End One map in my book, where you walk into this middle of this graveyard and the zombies rise up from I don't know. I'd have to go back and revisit them.
So. Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like you know what you wanted to get out of your levels just as you do now, and the values seem to be kind of similar. So they directed you in that sort of way. Whereas a lot of people, as they go, they're finding more about what it is that they even want. So they're starting from scratch in that respect. You know, obviously, everyone starts from scratch, but you seem more keen to sort of explore those angles more, and maybe that's where the similarity comes from.
I will be honest, and I, beyond just the feeling I had about Doom mapping and how much I loved it, I could not tell you anything about my philosophy of Doom mapping back then, about my level design choices. That's all lost in time. I just, now it's just a feeling to me. So I think there are commonalities that run between all of my work and that also appear in No End in Sight. There is a certain open-endedness to some of those maps, and there's a philosophy about secrets, where secrets just shouldn't be. You open up some, you know, off texture, and there's a soul sphere behind it, and then that's all there is. I feel like secrets are oftentimes used, or should be used, or I like to use them in a fashion where if you find a secret, you can access different parts of the maps at different times. So there's certain philosophies that I would bet just keep on reappearing throughout all of my work.
So could you remind me what you did on Caverns of Darkness?
Caverns of Darkness, I made, that was the last thing I made before heading off to college. That was map 5, so it's the map that kind of looks like a Chris Lutz map, but not really. And I was just struggling to keep up with his abilities and his skills to maintain a theme of caverns and mines. And
I don't know. Was there a more of a design directive in the Chaos crew? Because it seemed like there was a more realistic lean, or more representationalist would probably be the best word, with the sort of sector detailing and stuff that was going on there, and the reliance on certain effects.
I couldn't tell you if that was a stated aspect of the map set, all I remember about that map set was seeing Chris's work and thinking, I need to maintain this theme, because he was leading it, of course, and he was making many of the maps, and they all kind of had a certain theme, so I didn't want to make something that was completely outside of that realm. And so I just tried to make my own cavernous underground map. My map starts out with a little campfire made of lava textures and a lake that you can dive into.
So
but as far as what the actual direction was and whether or not it was decided upon, I couldn't say. Me, it was just I was copying a style project.
It's safe to say there was still more cohesion there, it looks like. I mean, compared to some of the autopilot community projects that get together these days where anything and everything goes, which you haven't participated in any of those, I've noticed. Is that more just a conscientious decision on your part, or just haven't had the time? How do you see those sort of projects? Have you ever had the inclination to join one of them, jump in and commit something to a slot?
I think if it was a large project with a lot of mappers who I really respected, kind of like how Bat to Saturn X was, I would be excited about making a map.
Right. Yeah. No, Back to Saturn X, I guess that's more of a team. I guess you could call that a team sort of project. I'm not sure, honestly. There's this model of creating threads on Doomworld that people can
write.
It seems sort of like it fits a certain bill, and I guess that's what most people mean when they say community projects.
Yeah, I seem to remember hearing you and Tarnsman have a conversation on one of the
podcasts. Yeah, sorry.
where you talked about these group wads, and it's like, why would I throw my map into a collection of wads that have this highly variable quality, right? You've got some terrible maps, and you've got some okay maps, and maybe your stuff is good, maybe it's not, but why bunch your stuff in with a bunch of maps of the style you don't particularly like when you could just release something on your own? So that's one reason why I don't generally
reward
any sort of the Doom Megawad project of the week, with the only use these 7 textures sort of gimmick to it. And I don't even like those sorts of gimmicks either. I feel like Doom is at its best when you have vanilla, that's fine, but you can use all of the resources provided within the vanilla engine without any sort of restrictions beyond that. So when you have some sort of gimmick project, I'm usually not really drawn to it by any means.
Yeah, I think the limitation sort of projects are, I mean, they could be diminishing in popularity now, I don't know, but they seem to me to be successful because of how many projects go around these days, that it's a good opportunity to, first of all, to try something unusual, to put yourself under certain, obviously, restrictions, but in order so that when you finish doing that, you can go back to doing what you really wanted to do, and maybe you'd like be better in a certain area of your mapping than you were before. I don't know, but so much stuff gets put out these days that I wonder if that's the reason. But you seem to place much more interest in like appreciating the artistic vision of a project, putting more weight into it, and rather than something that's more flimsy, like the sort of things that we're describing here.
Yeah, and plus I'm just not mapping much these days. I'm doing a little. I'm working on one map right now that I've been tinkering on, but I don't have that drive that fueled No End in Sight. It's just something I do for I tinker around at the end of the day a little bit, but nothing that is. I've got other things in life going on, so my contributions to the community in general are probably going to be somewhat minimalized at this point until another 10 years.
And maybe you'll go camping again for another 10 years and forget about the game and come back and release something wonderful.
Exactly. So it comes in decade spurts. And, you'll have to just wait around. That's not that much of a wait compared to how long No End in Sight took. So,
well, I think that's a pretty good note to end on, if I'm honest. We've been going on for a little over an hour, and I think we discussed everything we wanted to, unless there was something you wanted to go over again.
You promised me some hardball questions. And,
well, I did, didn't I? I don't. I was supposed to source some more community questions to play hardball, but no one even sent me anything for Linguitha. I mean, he's the site owner. You would think that we'd get, I don't know, someone ranting about anime avatar epidemic that's been going on or something, but we didn't get anything at all. So it's not you. It's Doom Radio. It's we're rubbish.
No, it's been a real pleasure to be on.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, and good luck with whatever you're working on at the moment and in real life. And I hope to speak to you again soon and play some more of your material.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Cheers.